This is John J. Miller of National Review Online. Thanks for listening. Our guest is Rodney Stark, author of God's Battalions, The Case for the Crusades. Rod, the Crusades took place hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Why do we need to make a case for them today in the 21st century?
Because of the prevailing attitude towards the Crusades, which is that it was another great crime committed by the West, is part and parcel of many other kinds. I mean, it manifests itself in all kinds of ways that are harmful. For example, Major Hassan, the sort of thing that caused him to go unimpeded. He didn't go undetected. He went unimpeded. The same sort of thing is reflected in the whole notion about the Crusades, about the fact that we're somehow responsible in every interchange with Islam.
Before we go any further, let's get a few facts straight. What were the Crusades? When did they take place? How many people were involved? And what motivated them?
Well, they began in 1095. That's when the Pope called for Christian knights in Europe to go to the Holy Land to relieve pressure on Byzantium from intruding Muslim forces, to free the city from... What was really going on was a persecution of Christian pilgrims who had been going to Jerusalem for hundreds of years, pretty much unimpeded, but now they were getting butchered. And the fact is more than 100,000 knights went east. 2 years later, about 15,000 of them managed to reach Jerusalem. They were sick. They'd eaten their horses. There were a lot more Muslims inside Jerusalem than there were Christians outside, but somehow they climbed over the walls and beat them. And then 3 weeks later, they had to march south to face a very, very large Egyptian army, and they beat them too. And then they went home. And subsequently, of course, it had to be done again and again. So there were seven Crusades. 200 years after it all started, it stopped because, well, as in the U.S. and Vietnam and perhaps now in Afghanistan, the folks back in Europe got tired of paying for it.
Now, why was this not a case of Western imperialism thrusting itself into the Middle East?
Well, first of all, there were no colonies set up because there was nothing to colonize. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. 30 years before the first crusade went to Jerusalem, the Pope called for a crusade into Spain. As you probably know, the Muslim advance over 400 years had taken them over all of North, mostly Christian territories, all of North Africa, which had been Christian, the whole Middle East, most of which had been Christian, then across the ocean. They took most of Spain, they took southern Italy, they took Sicily and most of the islands. They even sent an army into France that was defeated just south of Paris. Okay, so the Pope says, look, guys, if you go down and have a crusade into Spain, you will be atoned for your sins, et cetera, et cetera. All of the same elements. Spain was very close. It was easy to go to Spain. There was real money to be made, perhaps, in Spain, because there were a lot of really rich areas. Nobody went, or not enough went to make any difference. 30 years later, they say, go out to a pile of sand in the Middle East where there is no treasure to be had, and everybody went. The difference was nobody thought that Jesus had walked the streets of Spain. It's really important to realize also that the Crusaders went at enormous, incredible personal expense. Many of them bankrupted themselves to go, sold their castles. One of them sold Burgundy, the province of Burgundy, in order to raise money to go. And so off they went. Most of them died, and they kept on going.
Are the Crusades improperly understood as a response to Muslim expansionism?
Yeah, well, listen, that's what's missing in most of the books on the Crusades. By the way, there's a wonderful historical literature here that I merely drew on. And the reason I wrote the book is that somehow all these wonderful histories weren't being read by anybody. And that I thought it was time that the general public find out what all these fine historians knew. And the fact is that the Crusades didn't really begin in 1095. They began in the 700s. The West had been fighting with Islam for 450 years. Islamic expansionism, colonialism, if you will, had been going on a very long time. When the knights went east, it wasn't like they were going off to fight strangers, people they didn't know anything about. They knew all about them. They also knew they could beat them.
If there's such a great literature on the Crusades, good historical books that we can read to get an accurate picture of what they were and what inspired them, how did our understanding of the Crusades become so distorted?
It's a little hard to say, but it strikes me as two main things. One, that it started as anti-Catholicism. This was a way, you know, American and British historians have much to answer for on the score of anti-Catholic history. And the fact is that many, many stories have been told that were lies. If they made the church look bad. More recently, it's about anti-Christianity and anti-Westernism. And then, of course, it seeps over. For example, right after 9/11, former President Clinton went to Georgetown University, where he apologized for the Crusades as part of the reasons that the festering sores that we had opened in the Muslim consciousness and that was probably largely responsible for 9/11. Look, I think we can agree that Bill Clinton is not one of these silly anti-American jerks that, you know, that populate faculty lounges. He's a perfectly reasonable fellow who had been misinformed. And, I mean, after all, in 1999, the New York Times equated the Crusades and Hitler's Holocaust. I mean, it's a thing that built up, and underneath it all is anti-Western, anti-Christian sentiments.
Now, after 9/11, we heard a lot about Muslim sensitivities surrounding the Crusades. You mentioned the Bill Clinton speech, the famous one at Georgetown. Are these concerns authentic? Have the Crusades obsessed Muslims for centuries, and have they inspired modern-day terrorism?
As recently as the 19th century, there probably wasn't one Muslim out of a million who even remembered the Crusades. All of this came along as a response to what was real European colonialism in the Middle East, turn of the 20th century. And Arab nationalists began talking about this long tradition of Western badness, you know, all the terrible things we'd done to Islam. They had to explain why Islam was backward. And the idea was that, of course, the Christians had imposed on them in ways that had prevented their development. I mean, the standard sorts of excuses. But the fact is that where it really became out of control is after the foundation of the State of Israel. Then it was all about Western colonialism. It hadn't even been remembered in, say, 1850. Nobody in Islam knew about the Crusades.
Now, if there had been no Crusades, how would the world be different today?
I'm not really sure that it would be much different. I think Jerusalem would, of course, be different. There was a lot of destruction that had gone on of Christian sites that was stopped and never was resumed. The fact is that the Christians were pushing the Muslims back on all fronts in 1095 when the Crusades took place. The Normans, who weren't merely in France but were all over the Mediterranean, they kicked them out of Sicily and southern Italy, and Spain was being slowly reclaimed. I don't think it would make much difference. But I think the real difference is that it gave a real spur to Christian Europe recognizing its ability to confront Islam. I mean, it was really quite a feat, if you think about trying to sustain a military presence 2,500 miles away with volunteers.
The author is Rodney Stark. The book is God's Battalions, The Case for the Crusades. Thanks for listening.